Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Our mission is to reach, teach, and baptize throughout the world, beginning in our community, fulfilling the Great Commission by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. That simply means we're here to reach irreligious people and turn them into lifelong devoted followers of Jesus, equip them for a place of service in the church, and send them out on a mission for Christ in the world. We're glad you're with us today. I command blessings on you and your family today.
Chapter 12 and verses 22 through 34. These are familiar words that are recorded in other places in the Bible. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that is, don't be anxious, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment, which means clothes. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taken thought, that is, being worried, being anxious, can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I tell you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what you shall eat and what you shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of doubtful man or fearful man, is what it means. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at this, number 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which are not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to preach this morning about don't worry. Don't worry. Or another way of saying it, worry-free living. Worry-free living. Yesterday I was in Sprouts. You know what Sprouts is. It's,
it's a store, and it sells fruit and produce and things like that. But I wandered around over it. They also sell medication. And I wandered over in that section. And I was looking at all of the various titles for handling stress. And do you know what I've learned? I've learned that a lot of people in this world are stressed out. A lot of people in this world are worried sick. And I mean, over everything. And we all understand that, don't we? We identify with people who worry. And there is not a worry that you can have that medical science have not put a category to it. But you know, the strange thing about it, when you go to the medical professionals, and I value them and thank God for them, what they seek to do is to help you manage your stress. The medications that they give are designed to help you manage the level of anxiety that you have. But I came this morning with good news, because Jesus says, my plan eliminates your worry. You don't have to have it. Not, listen, the world, you got a choice. You can go with what the world is doing, and all you'll be doing is just managing your stress. Jesus said, you can come to me and benefit from what I have designed for the kingdom of God, and you can eliminate your worry and your stress. I personally choose to have mine eliminated. Listen, every now and then, something can get under your skin and something can aggravate you. And have you laying there looking at the ceiling at night and walking the floor and wondering, how in the world am I going to make it? If you haven't been there, don't die tonight. So the question is, how are you going to handle that? Jesus is saying, listen, I didn't just come to take you to heaven and give you abundant life there. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly now, right here. You don't have to wait until after a while. Some things can be done for you now. And although these words are familiar to us, because we've heard them over and over. We've heard them in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, in what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And certainly Jesus, in the parallel passage, taught it. But this is a different occasion. This is later in his ministry, and he's now in Judea, and he's teaching the same thing. So what it says to me is that Jesus taught certain principles over and over and over again. He taught it in Galilee to those people around the Lake of Galilee. He's teaching it down in Judea, and probably 12 different times in the scriptures we hear Jesus saying, don't worry. At least 8 more times you hear him say, don't be afraid. So when we pull this passage together, and I may not get it all in today, I'm going to try, But he's saying basically in 3 particular verses. In verse 22, don't take no thought, which means don't worry, don't be anxious. He says in verse 29, or should I say verse 32, don't worry. He says it the same thing, don't keep worrying. And then he says it in verse 29, don't keep worrying. In verse 32, don't be afraid. Look at what he's saying, and because we know this is true. Don't be anxious. And how many people know we have nervous conditions? And don't be worried. Don't keep worrying. And how many know we keep worrying about the same thing? We pray about it, and then we get right off of our knees and start right over worrying about it again. And then don't be afraid. Man, he had to speak to me on that one. Because, see, ever since I had a little accident, every time my car come up on me, man, I'm looking through that rearview mirror. And I'm easing up off the brake and everything else. Man, you're coming too fast. Slow down. Do I have company here? We got alarms on our house. We got alarms on our cars. And some of us carry our insurance in our pockets. Smith and Wesson. Because we have worry. And listen, I just want the fellas to know now, don't misunderstand the ladies. You walk up on some of these sisters today, and you may be in for an unpleasant surprise. Because they too have worries and fears, and they don't intend to let you take it from them. So the whole world, the whole earth is going through it. And this pandemic that we have just been in over the last year and a half, or maybe 2 years, almost 2 years, has really intensified this level of stress. You got people so stressed out now. People are apprehensive even about coming back to church. People are apprehensive about leaving home, about going anywhere, about doing anything, because this stuff is real. But thank God for Jesus. And let me tell you what I'm saying here. I'm saying that Jesus is saying there is no reason to worry and to be afraid and to be continually overly concerned. And the reason that you are falls into one of two categories, or one or two reasons. Either you are ignorant. I'm not calling anyone ignorant. Please don't get offended. Ignorance just means don't know. You either don't know what God has promised and said, or secondly, you don't believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're going to get yourself into another kind of problem now, because that is sin. And you have a sin problem that needs to be dealt with. One of the reasons worry, I think, runs so rampant, even among Christian people, is because pastors in past, and many pastors in cities, and I'm not critical of no one, just don't drill down deep enough to help people see into the insight of who God is and what God says. We don't spend enough time talking about the nature of God, the plan of God, the promises of God, so that people have an adequate and just depth concerning what the word is. And one of the ways you dummy people down is to throw them jelly beans. This book is full of meat. But we don't want people to have meat. We want them to have gravy and jelly beans, which spoils their appetite for meat. Are you hearing me? Because I want you to understand, we'd be more concerned about how it sounds than what it says. And for a long time, African Americans in particular have judged the pulpit based on how it sounds rather than the content that comes across through it. And we'll go home if he got a little homer in, boys. We'll go home. We had a good time today. Well, what did he preach about? I don't know. We had a good time, though. Good church. And then you go home and you stress out over what's going on because you haven't been given what you really need. So let me tell you here. There are five or six things in the text today that I want to talk about. But I don't know how far we'll go, but we go as far as we can. I think what it comes down to, honestly, is a failure to understand something about God that produces in us or allows the worry to continue and the fears to increase. And I think that if we can look at what Jesus is saying about where we fail and take it to heart and begin to address that, I think we can walk away from this experience with an increased desire to want to live a worry-free life. Can we go? Can we talk about what we might not understand? The first thing is in verse 22 right here. Now, you got to know, like I said, yeah, we heard these words in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And obviously, wherever Jesus was teaching, day after day, he was teaching repetitively the same truths because he's talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and what it's like to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven and what benefits you have. And so he's saying here, take no thought, don't be anxious, don't worry. And if you are, what is being implied here is that there is a failure, number one, to understand the priority of God. Okay? Now, God's priority is number one failure. Okay? Now, how is that so? Look at how he illustrates it. How he illustrates it in verse 22. So I got to take a little time here. He says, take no thought for your life, for your body. And you know, your life. What is your life? Is your life not just for food? I mean, isn't it for more than food? And isn't your body for more than just clothes? For decorating the outside? I mean, can you understand what he's saying? Is God is saying, I have made you. And I have made you for a higher purpose than to just be a consumer of food. And I've made your body for more than just to be a mannequin. You know what they do with mannequins? Mannequins, they change the clothes. They dress mannequins up all kinds of ways. And if all you think your life is supposed to be is just to consume food and to clothe it with various clothing, you have misunderstood or have failed to understand God's priority for your life. You got to know God made you for a reason. And what is really being taught here is as long as God has purpose for your life on earth, he made you for some spiritual good. He made you to accomplish some spiritual end. And as long as you have not completely fulfilled the purpose that God has put you on the earth for, God intends to continue to sustain you. So he's going to feed you. He's going to clothe you. I don't want you to misunderstand. Even if you don't work, God, as long as you're undergoing, listen, don't be lazy. That's not what the Bible is saying. You know, do some things that you should do. Take care of yourself, plan some things, put some money aside, do some things like that. But let me just tell you the truth. Even if you were absolutely bankrupt, had absolutely zero money, God would still take care of you. How many know it's the truth? But you know, but that's one of the reasons we are anxious. One of the reasons we're worrying about having enough food. Look at what happened just the other day when they said the gas lines were hacked. I mean, folk went crazy. They got in line, got in fights in line for gas. Some people even tried to put gas in paper bags. What sense does that make? But that's what happened to people. Let them say it's going to be a storm, and the shelves in the stores are immediately emptied because we panic. We fall into that mold that I'm not going to have enough. And you got to understand, the people in Jesus' day really were much poorer than you are. This is one of the most lavish societies ever. And is the most stressed out society ever. In Jesus' day, I mean, people wanted, if they wanted something to eat, they had to grow it. Then if they grew it, they had to take the grain and beat it out. Then they had to cook it. It wasn't no fast food. Wasn't any of those things like that. If they wanted clothes, they had to go somewhere and buy some string or whatever thread, and then put it on a loom and weave and make their own stuff. It wasn't no Walmart, Kmart, Target, Macy's, all of those other places to go and dazzle and get lost in all day shopping. People are worried. How this gonna look? Does this bring out my shape? Ooh, no, child, I can't wear that. I'm too top heavy. You know I'm telling the truth. We worry. We stress. And Jesus is saying it's because you don't understand my priority. Look, your life is more than food and clothes. My purpose for your life, I will sustain it. As long as you are on the earth and you're living in a way that fulfills those things that I want for you and from you, don't you worry. You don't have to manage it. I got it. I'll take care of all of your needs. Which means, secondly, that we don't understand God's provision. We miss his priority. See, out of all of the creatures that God made on earth, God made the human being at the apex of his created order. And so that means he has more purpose for you, and he will provide for you. He said, look at what he said. He said, consider the ravens. The birds. You know what a raven is. Do you really understand what a raven is? A raven is a buzzard. It is. And, you know, a scarecrow. And that's what a raven is. He's a scarecrow. He's a buzzard. He's one of those big black birds that prey on things. And the Lord is saying, they don't work nowhere. And they don't gather in the barns. And he said, and yet your heavenly Father does what? Feeds them, take care of them. So listen, the context, the implied context is, aren't you more than a bird? And if God is willing to take care of birds, then won't he take care of you? Listen, birds are active. I mean, you don't see birds laying on their side taking a nap in the middle of the day. Now, birds are always moving. They're always going. And I believe Jesus probably in this teaching probably looked up and he saw probably a flock of birds at that point. Because you do know that Israel, in Israel, is one of the most bird heavily populated places of all times. And it's still that way to this day. And it'll be that way because he speaks about it in the book of Revelation, where he talks about, you know, after the battle of Armageddon, the bird, the fowl of the air is going to pick up and feast on the flesh of those who are going to be lost, going to be destroyed. And do you know why? Because when birds in that Middle Eastern part and that part of the world move on their migration, they have to go through Israel. Because, see, if they go, don't go through Israel, they're not going to have what they need. They're not going to make it. To the left of Israel, to the Fertile Crescent, is the desert. And no birds are going to go on no long journey across the desert. And to the right of Israel is the Mediterranean Sea. And so they're not going to go on a long migration across the Mediterranean Sea. So if they're going to go on a migration, they're going to go through Israel. And do you not know, and maybe you don't know, that they have done aviation studies because more airplanes and more pilots have been killed in Israel because of bird migration than through enemies. And when the birds are moving south and those planes are flying and they fly into a flock of those birds and those birds get into those engines, planes crash. And so now they have been doing such an aviation study to learn the migration patterns, to understand which set of birds are moving at which time, at what altitude, so they can redirect their pilots. And so Jesus looked up and he saw a flock of birds. And he said, consider the ravens. They don't work nowhere. They don't spin. They don't gather in the barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he looked back at the folk and said, and aren't you more than a bird? So it means that you don't understand something about your Father's provision. My God will supply, won't he do it? But our problem is not that God is unwilling to supply. Come on with me over in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. You do know the book of Haggai, don't you? Haggai, last three books, Haggai, Malachi, Zephaniah, Malachi. But in Haggai chapter 1, he shows us an opposite contrast. He says to the people, he said, you work and you still don't have anything. You put money in your pocket, and yet there are holes in it. You know, you got food, and yet you can't enjoy it. And the reason is because my house is being neglected. You have forgotten about who I am. You spend all of your time on yourself, and yet you have forgotten all about me, and therefore I'll blow on it. You can make it, but I won't let you enjoy it. Because every time you think you're getting the upper hand on it, I'll make the refrigerator go out. I'll cause you to have to get another set of tires. I'll send a storm through. I'll do something that won't let you enjoy the abundance that you thought. Because you don't know who I am. I want you to hear this morning because this is the solution. Understand God's priority. And many people fail to understand their purpose that God has put you on earth. And yes, there are things that come up in life that do challenge us, but God is not through with us. We may not be feeling the best, but God is still not through. May not have what other people have, but God is not through. And so just hold on, just a little while longer. But I think in this text there is also a third situation there. Worry comes from failure to understand God's priority. Worry comes from failure to understand God's provision. And I think thirdly, worry comes from failure to understand God's privilege. Look at verse 25. And which of you, by being anxious, by being worried, by taking thought, King James said, can add one cubit to his span. And verse 26 say, you can't even do the very little thing. So why are you worried or anxious about other matters? Now let's talk about it for a moment. You know what a cubit is. A cubit span is usually measured. It's a measurement that goes from the tip of one's finger to the crest of one's elbow. And usually that's about 18 inches. And what the Lord is saying is you can't add any extra to your life. You can't add any extra to your height. See, I learned that a long time ago. See, I was short. And I knew that I wasn't going to be able to make myself taller. I don't care what I did. I don't care what I tried. That wasn't going to work. Okay, so I stopped long years ago and had to accept that this is who I am, this is what I'm working with, and it worked for me. Hello, anybody discovered yet that you work for you? But no, let me go a little deeper because it's really not talking about adding physicalities to your body. What it's really talking about is you can't add no time to your life. That's deep. You can't add no more time to your life. And you know that's what's wrong in our society because we have become so health conscious. And we feel that if I can run a little further, if I can exercise a little more, if I can eat the right food and get on the right diet, then I can be around here for a long while. Listen, let me tell you something. Everybody has boundaries that God has set. And no one will be able to go beyond the boundary that God has set. So don't worry about it. What you need to do, listen, I know, it's important to eat right. That's a good thing. And it's important to exercise and to keep yourself physically fit so that you can carry out to a stronger degree the things that God has laid out for you to accomplish. But just running and eating is not going to do it. So bring me a big plate of cheese fries. And let me just go ahead on and eat what I want to eat, because as long as God has purpose for my life, hello somebody. Ralph, you will make yourself sick trying to drop 100 pounds. You would. I mean, it might make you feel better, but it also make you feel bad too. So listen, stop worrying. And can I be honest with you, brutally honest with you? That's one of the things that produces fear in us. We all, every now and then, become concerned about our exit, about dying. Sometimes we dream about it. Sometimes we think about it. Sometimes we envision it. And envision our own service. Now tell me I'm telling a lie. I know I'm telling the truth. And if we don't have some method of combating that, Satan can use that to stir up anxiety, worry in us over that matter. But Jesus has said, listen, don't you worry. Which of you, by worrying about that, can add anything to your life? Listen, you can't stay here a day longer than God wants you to be here. I don't care what you say. I just had to stop worrying about it. Man, I got caught in that shootout. I said, well, it ain't today. Thanks be to God. You understand that? So, man, I mean, this stuff can have you in a panic, and that's what causes people to have panic attacks. That's what caused people pressures to go up. That's what caused people to end up on managed medication. When the Lord is saying, listen, give that to me. Talk to me about that and let me handle that. Let me assure you of who you are and who I am and the fact that I got you and I'll keep you and I keep you by my power and nothing or no one can separate you from the love that I have for you. Once you're in my hand, that's what the Lord said. Nobody can pluck you out. No weapon formed against you can prosper. And it don't even matter what they say about you, because every tongue that rises against you is already defeated in judgment. So don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what people can do. Trust me, is what the Lord says. And so we have to be understanding that it's God's privilege to speak and we live. And it's God's privilege to speak and human life comes to a close. That has nothing to do with we're worrying about it. Since you can't add nothing to your height or to your stature, now you might can add a few taters and maters. But understand what he's doing here. He's speaking metaphorically by using the term cubit. You can't add anything to it. He wasn't really talking about adding anything physically. He was talking about it's not your privilege, it's God's privilege to add days to life. You do remember King Hezekiah in the Old Testament, King of Judah. The word had come to Hezekiah, get your house in order. Your time's up. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he prayed and talked to who? And God said, sent the prophet back and said, go tell Hezekiah, I heard his prayer. I've added 15 more years to his life. Because the privilege belonged to God. And that's what we fail to understand. When we fail to understand the priority, when we fail to understand the provisions of God, and when we fail to understand the privilege of God, then we put ourselves into places of worry. But there's another failure. We fail to understand divine preference. That is divine choice. God's the one who chooses. Look at the scriptures here in our lesson text for today. It's no different from anything. Verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, did not clothe himself like one of these. Now, don't misunderstand the text. Lilies, the writer and Jesus himself is not so much focused on a particular kind of flower. A lily is a flowering plant, but it's just wild grass. And you got a lot of different kinds of wild grasses that grow. And look at what he's saying. He's saying God chooses. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is not, how much more would he do for you? Listen, I love flowers. I love plants. I really do. I got some pretty ones out there. And let me tell you, when you examine one of those things up close, one of my favorite is the hibiscus. The hibiscus flower is so temporary. It'll blossom one day, and it'll come out. And the next day it folds up and it's done. But when that baby blossoms, when it comes out, it's beautiful. Man, I got down close so I could look at it. And I start looking at the details I said, God, you bad. Do you understand that? The texture, the color, just the right kinds of things. God is that concerned about you. He has made every detail of your life. He chose what period of history you'll be born in. He chose the very family that you'll be raised in. He chose the very color on your face, the very hair on your head. And we get upset with God. No, God, you ain't give me enough. I want more. I ain't like the color you gave my eyes, so I'm going to change mine. And therefore, we worry. We worry unnecessarily when it's God's preference to take care of you. God has chosen you. He has chosen you. Listen what he said. He said, you can find anything out here in this wide world you want. And you take Solomon. Y'all do know Solomon, right? Solomon was David's son. Solomon became the king of Israel. Solomon was said to have been the wisest man to live. And if you read 1 Kings chapter 12, you will see that Solomon was extravagant. I mean, so Solomon, man, ordered threads from everywhere. So Solomon was dressed to the nine. But God says that not even Solomon could outdress the wildflower that I make. And the wildflower, I don't even care nothing about, because today is here and tomorrow is gone. He said, a wildflower, I think so little of it. He said, it's used to heat up ovens. And you do know that's what they did in those old days. In those old days, before they had microwaves and before they had all of these kind of electronic and gas stoves and things like you have. See, when you want to heat up yours, you go from 250 to 450 with just a turn of the dial. But in those days, they cooked in clay ovens, and if they wanted to heat it up a little bit more, they'd go out and they'd gather some wild grass and throw it in the oven, and it would heat up. If God so cared that little, that much to dress up the wildflower that was going to be cast in the oven and burn up just to let somebody else cook, how much more? Does he care about you? So why worry? You can be anxious free. You can be worry free when you remember that you are God's priority. He made you. He made you in his image. He made you in his likeness. God will provide for you. He takes care of you. You are much more than food and body. You're more than just part of the food chain and a mannequin in a department store that has no life in it. You are more than that. You are somebody, God's child, treasured child of the Most High God. And when you understand that, man, the Lord says the flowers blossom, the grass withers, and the flower faded. But the word of God will do what? It'll stand forever. So God wants you to know who he is. And then I want you to look again at verse 6, 26 again. So he clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace. How much more will he clothe you? And then he challenges them, oh men of little faith. So you need to understand, these are his disciples. Jesus is talking to believers here. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to these men who have been around him. And this is not the first time he said, you a little faith. Now they had faith, but it was just a little faith. And how many know? A little dab would do. Won't it do? Faith to the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to mountains. You know, so it wasn't about that. What he was trying to say is, trust me. Trust me more than you do right now. There's at least one more I want to give to you today. Not only do we fail to understand or appreciate God's priority and his provision and his privilege and his preference, but we also fail to understand God's, here's the word, paternity. Because I wanted to stay with P words, paternity, meaning the fatherhood of God. God is your what? Heavenly Father. Jesus taught that, didn't he? And if God is your heavenly Father, look what he said. He said, it's my privilege to give to you the kingdom. It's God's privilege as his child to give to you the kingdom. So he's taking care of your spiritual needs. He's taking care of your physical needs. And those are the only two categories that people really worry about. We either worry about how we're going to make it physically or what's going to happen to us spiritually. And if God is saying that I, being your heavenly Father, if God's your heavenly Father, it's his privilege and his pleasure to give to you the kingdom, you don't have to worry. Listen, I am an earthly father. And I have two earthly sons. And I tell you the truth. Sometimes they made me mad and did things I did not like. But still, for the life of me, I would not withhold from those knucklehead boys whatever it was that I felt that they needed. And even much of the things that they themselves wanted. Are you hearing that? And let me tell you what Jesus said on another teaching occasion. He said, if you then being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father which is in heaven give good things unto you? So it comes down to either you don't know what God has promised and you won't be able to say that after today. So the second issue comes up now. It becomes a question of unbelief. Either you believe the promises that God has made and you can go and live in peace, or you can cast those aside and say God doesn't know what he's talking about, and you will continue to worry. I choose to believe God. I choose to believe that I am important to him. I choose to believe that every day that I wake up, that God has something that he wants me to do. Somewhere he wants me to go. Someone he wants me to talk to. Something he wants me to say. And I choose to believe that my God in glory supplies all of my needs according to his riches in heaven. I chose to believe that my God got everything that I need. Cattle on a thousand hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein all belong to him. The gold is his, the silver is his. And I believe that my God don't mind me having some of it. And I know I'm in good company because I heard David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. My Lord, that's why David said, I'm not going to worry, even when I walk through the valley or the shadow of death. I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me of the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, I know I gotta stop, but I just want to tell you something. What God has for me, it is for me. Do y'all hear me? Touch somebody and tell them what God has for you, it is for you. And nobody can take it, and nobody can block it, and nobody can stop it, and nobody can keep God from giving it to you. God loves you today. God bless you. Doors of the church open. Doors open. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Live a worry-free life. Know that. Know without a doubt. He's gonna bring me out. Whatever he has for me, it is. It is. It is for me. Doors of the church. But while we sing, you can come today by letter. Christian Experience candidate for baptism.
Come on, sing it. Help us to understand.
What God has.
Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. And I know by now you know about this new book that we have released. Not only have we released it, the book is here. And it's an excellent read, not just because I wrote it, but because of the content and what it conveys. It tells the story of where marriage comes from. Marriage comes from God. And I need us to know that. And if you're in love and are considering this particular path for your life, the content of this book will help you along the way. Not only do we talk about where marriage comes from, we talk about keys to compatibility, what's necessary to be effective in marriage. I have a little acronym in the book. It's called CUT, C-U-T, Communication, Understanding, Trust. That becomes the basic formula that's necessary for any marriage to be successful. Not only do we talk about those things and the keys to compatibility, we also talk about staying in love. Once you're in love, we certainly want to remain in love. And some may wonder, well, what if I married the wrong person? We even deal with that as well. So this is a great opportunity for you to make sure that you're in line with what God's will is for your life. June is coming, and many marriages take place in the month of June, July, and August. So if you're one of those lucky ones, we certainly want you to have this book as you go through your time of merrymaking and life change. God bless you. Please follow the prompts on the screen that you may know how to get your personal copy of this book. Friends, this is Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. We really appreciate all of the love and support that you have shown to us through these broadcasts. We've been hearing from people and our friends all over, and we want you to pray about being a supporter and a prayer partner and a supporter of this television ministry. If you believe the Holy Spirit has ministered the Word of God to you and you'd like to see this ministry continue and to share it with your friends, please consider being a supporter. Follow the prompts on the screen. We would love to hear from you.